Well, hey, Merry Christmas. Man, didn't these guys do a phenomenal job leading us in worship today? Woo! Between a kids choir and an actual choir and all the different moving pieces, despite common belief, that was not easy to pull off. They did an amazing job and just an awesome time worshiping Jesus together. And hey, we want to just welcome you and just say thank you for joining us today. You could be lots of different places for Christmas Eve. You could be in the comfort of your home, not getting wet, walking in from your car. But you could be somewhere else doing traditions and whatever. But you chose to be here. We're glad that you're here. We just want to say welcome and that we're honored that you'd spend Christmas with us. And I personally want to just say thank you to this church. Like, this church is such a blessing to me. As the pastor, I'm proud, I'm honored, I'm grateful to be able to be called your pastor, if this is your church. And it's just such a blessing to be able to be here with you. God's doing some really special things here in our church. And it blows my mind to see all that God is doing and what he's doing through a bunch of people who really don't know what they're doing. You know, be honest with you, I don't know. I didn't expect there to be a packed house during this service. Someone asked me, they said, 2 o'clock, is that going to be, and I said, that's probably going to be the deadest service. We have people sitting at our connection point right now, so thank you guys for being back there, but God's just doing some incredible things, and next week, if you come back, we're going to celebrate some of those things, and in fact, we want to invite you to come back. We don't want you just to be our guest today. We're glad that you are, but we want you to come back if you are new to this area, if you're looking for a church, maybe you're de-churched or church shopping, whatever it is. We'd love for you to come and check us out next week as well, and be a part of our body. The seat back pocket in front of you, there's a card that gives you regular service times that we have on Sunday mornings, along with a new service that we're going to be launching in January. January 16th, we're going to be launching a Thursday evening service. Our Sunday morning services will be here. Thursday evening will be at our building that we own down the street on Maple Street. All the information is on that card. But we'd love for you to come back and join us for services throughout the week and to be a part of our church. So if you're looking for a church, we'd love to have you be a part of ours. Hey, I want to just kind of recap. We've been in this sermon series, as you saw that video play, called Jesus Is. And the last 3 weeks leading up to Christmas Eve, we've been taking a look at who Jesus is. So Jesus is, and then we've been filling in the blank. The reason that we're doing this is because this time of year, especially, Jesus, his reputation, his image, his identity, who he is, really is altered and changed and manipulated and shifted, and we kind of want to give an accurate view of who Jesus is. Maybe the tendency for you this time of year is to think of Jesus as that baby in the manger. And I understand it, I get it, right? The nativity scene, and he's coming, and he's born, and we talk about that, and that's great, and that's part of who Jesus is. And his birth, it shows his humanity, it shows his humility, all wrapped up into one, and that's great, that's who Jesus is. But Jesus is more than this little baby that came as helpless, dependent baby. There's lots more to who Jesus is. Today, I believe that there's a misconception of who Jesus truly is. Today, maybe you think of Jesus as a good person who said some good things, who lived a good life, who taught some good lessons. Maybe you know something that you can take away from some of his teachings as a good moral teacher. But maybe that's where you leave Jesus today, is just kind of a good moral person. Maybe you think of Jesus, maybe even he was sent by God. Maybe he was a prophet that was sent by God. Maybe that's who you think Jesus is. Or maybe today, maybe you think of Jesus as the face, the poster child, if you will, of this religion we call Christianity. And he's just simply kind of the face to this religion. And when you think of religion, you think of this set of rules, these do's and these don'ts that you got to try to live up to that you never can, you always fall short of. And so why even try, right? Because this whole religion thing just doesn't work for me. And Jesus is, he's the face of this religion that just doesn't work. I believe that's where some people are at today. I think some people were probably dragged here by their grandparents or their mom or dad. You're probably just here because, you know, this is the one time a year, maybe two times with Easter, that I'll let mom and dad convince me to go to church. You know what? We're glad that you're here. And I was in that camp before. I didn't like going to church. I tried everything I could to not to go to church. My mom always dragged me to church and never let me not come to church. Thankful for that. But if that's you today, if you were dragged here and maybe you don't believe that Jesus is who he is, that he's just the face, then I'm glad that you're here. Hopefully we'll reintroduce you or maybe introduce you for the first time to who Jesus truly is. Maybe you believe Jesus is just myth. I don't know. But I want to introduce you to the real Jesus today, the true Jesus today. And maybe it's introducing for the very first time who Jesus truly is. Maybe it's reintroducing again. Maybe you forgot. Maybe you didn't think about it. I don't know. But as we've been walking into Christmas Eve, we've looked at who Jesus is. So let's just go over these things. Let's just go kind of a recap, and then I want to introduce you to another part of who Jesus is today. So number one, foundational. We got to start here. This is the rock that Jesus is. I mean, this is who Jesus is, at the core of Jesus. Jesus is God. Now maybe you go, okay, I've heard that before, but you know what? We can't move past that. This is the foundation of who Jesus is. This baby in a manger, this innocent, helpless child is God in the flesh. This is God. This is who Jesus is. Now, the very first thing that any false religion, any cult, or any sect of Christianity that isn't truly Christian faith will always go after and attack the deity of Jesus. Here's why. If I can get you to believe that Jesus isn't God, I have rendered the gospel ineffective. And it's the gospel that has the power to save us. It's the gospel that has the power to transform us. But if I can just say Jesus is simply just a good teacher, Jesus is simply just a good person, Jesus is a moral person, he's a prophet, whatever, he was sent by God, but he isn't God. If I can get you to believe that, I have rendered the gospel ineffective and therefore the cross is useless. We got to start here. Jesus is God. Now, Jesus made a pretty powerful, and I would say audacious claim that unless he is truly God, we dismiss everything that he said, including this right here. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says one of the most exclusive statements that there is. Not exclusive to you and I, but exclusive to every other belief system out there. He says, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through, say it together, me. Except through me. That's pretty bold, isn't it? That's pretty bold. Jesus didn't say, I know the way, I know the truth, and I know the life. He didn't even say, I can show you the way, I can show you the truth, I can show you the life. See, Jesus isn't this like really good guide towards what the truth is. Hey, I'll just show you, I'll come with you. No, he says, you want to know what the way is? It's me. You want to know what the truth is? It's me. You want to know where life is? It's me. That's a bold statement. And unless Jesus is God, this statement is blasphemy. But Jesus is God. We got to start here. We have to understand this. And this is the first thing that will be attacked in who Jesus is. So Jesus is God. Okay, Jesus now, he is the fulfillment. Jesus is the fulfillment. What's that mean? Jesus is the fulfillment. Well, the word fulfillment just simply means the achievement of something that is promised, predicted, or desired. That's just what the word achievement means. Jesus is the achievement of something that's promised, predicted, or desired. So simply put, something that's promised or predicted, we look at prophecy, we look at Old Testament scripture and what they predicted or promised about the coming Messiah, the coming Jesus, the coming God in the flesh. He's the fulfillment of those things. Here's the question I want to ask you today. If the fulfillment is the achievement of something that's promised, predicted, or desired, is he your fulfillment? Is he what you desire? Let's look at what he achieved. Let's look at what he fulfilled. Old Testament scripture is chock full of promises and prophecies of this coming Messiah that we know as Jesus. All throughout the Old Testament is a group of people, God's people, that have been taken out of slavery into the wilderness and the promised land and in captivity and in all throughout Israel. And now they're looking for this coming Messiah, and there's prophecy after prophecy, hundreds of prophecies that Jesus fulfilled not only in his birth, but in his life, his death, and his resurrection. all types of prophecies have been fulfilled, and it all points back to Jesus. Jesus is saying, all that you've read points back to me. I am that fulfillment. What else did Jesus fulfill? Jesus fulfilled the law. Here's what you have to understand today. For those of you that are hesitant, skeptical, in disbelief or in complete rejection of religion, because it's just a set of rules and do's and don'ts and things that you got to follow and things that you can't live up to, guess what? I get it. Christianity was never meant to be religion. Christianity was always meant to be relationship. Now, does God have expectations of us? Yes. A perfect and holy God sets a standard that's perfect and holy. He can't do anything other than that. He says, you want to be in relationship with me? This is what it means. This is what perfection is. This is what holiness is. This is what righteousness is. This is what I expect. He doesn't lower the standard so that we can reach it. He says, this is it. And all throughout Scripture, we see people falling short. Why? Because the law, the do's and the don'ts, if you will, was never meant for us to try to achieve so that we can receive salvation. It was always meant to show us you can't do it on your own. And so guess what? You need Jesus. See, Jesus fulfilled the law. He came and lived the life that we could never live. He followed those laws perfectly. He followed the standard that God the Father set perfectly. He did it. He accomplished it. See, all other religions outside of Christianity say you have to accomplish it. You have to work harder. You have to try harder. You have to live up. You have to do it. It's all dependent on you. And Jesus says it's all dependent on me. I live that life that you could never live. And then guess what? Then I went to the cross and died the death that you deserve. So not only did I live what you couldn't, I died what you should have, because I'm the fulfillment. Now, if the fulfillment means he's the achievement of something promised, predicted, and desired, we see what he promised, what was predicted, him fulfilling those things. Do you desire it? Because Jesus wants to fulfill more than just those prophecies, and he wants to fulfill more than just the law. He wants to fulfill you. He wants to fill you. Some of you have a misconception of who Jesus is. I want to reintroduce you to Jesus, because in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, the thief comes, the enemy, Satan, the devil, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his role. That's his job. That's what he wants for you, to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, but I have come that you may have life and have it, say it with me, to the full. Full life, abundant life. Your translation, depending on what you read, will say have it to the full, or have a rich and satisfying life, or have an abundant life. Either way, Jesus wants your life to be full. All of us have a gap, a void, a hole that we're trying to fill with something. It's a person, it's a job, it's money, it's substance, it's purpose, it's identity, it's whatever it is. There's always something in our life as human beings that leave us empty and void. And Jesus says the thing that you're looking for to fill that void is me. And until you fill it with me, you'll never be full. Everything else leaves us empty. There may be some things that temporarily satisfy. It's kind of like putting a Band-Aid over a big gash, a big wound. It's, you know, maybe it'll keep something out of it, but eventually that wound needs to be repaired, needs to be healed. And Jesus says, I've come to be that thing, that person that fills that hole in your life. I am the fulfillment. He wants to fulfill your life. So I want to reintroduce you today to Jesus. He's God. He is the fulfillment. And he is the Messiah. He's the Messiah. What does that mean? The Messiah, that's the Christ, the Savior, the chosen one, the anointed one. That's what this word means. He is the Messiah. And the Messiah holds death and life in his hands. The Messiah has power over death and is the source of life himself. And Jesus, we see in John chapter 11, is going to a funeral. His friend Lazarus is dead. His sisters meet him, and they say, Jesus, if you would have just been here, our brother Lazarus wouldn't have been dead. But even now, we know that you can raise him. And Jesus says, do you believe that you'll see your brother again? No, Lord, we believe that he'll rise again on that last day. We believe that he'll be resurrected again on that last day when everyone is. And Jesus looks at Martha and he says, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus doesn't just say, I can resurrect Lazarus. He says, I am the resurrection. The resurrection is because of Jesus. He doesn't just say, I can give Lazarus life. He says, I am the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Listen to what he says here. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. What he's saying is all of us are going to face death. The mortality rate is 100% as much as we try to escape it. It's 100%. We're gonna face it. But he says, you may face that death. You may face a physical death, but spiritual death doesn't have to be for you because I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, though he dies, will live forever. And he who believes in me will never die. And then he asks Martha an important question. And I'm just going to ask you this question today. He says, Martha, do you believe this? See, all of us are faced with answering that question for ourselves today. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and that life is found in Jesus? He is the Messiah. Is he your Messiah? Martha says, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. See, Martha places her faith in Jesus as the Messiah. It's interesting because death constantly is on the top 10 biggest fears humans have. Every year they put out a new poll of the top 10 biggest fears that humans have, and death is constantly in multiple different ways on that list. You know the reason for that, I believe, is because you and I were never meant to die. Did you know that? You know, the mortality rate's 100%, but that's not because that's what Jesus wants. Jesus never wanted you to die. The reason that death is even a thing is because we've rebelled, we've sinned, we've fallen short of God's perfect standard. We've gone against what he says. And when he is life, when he is the not only the giver of life, but the source of life, when we unplug from him through sin, that leads to death. And that's why Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says the wages of sin is death. What you earn because of your sin is death. Congratulations. Like, that's what we get. We earned it. We deserve it. That's what we get. But you know the rest of the verse. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. We love this because there's this gift that God wants to give every single one of us. This gift that is under your hypothetical tree this year. This spiritual gift that maybe you've left unwrapped for years. That God places underneath your tree today. If you're not a follower of Jesus, if you've never received the gift of God that is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord, that gift is for you today. That gift is available for you today. That gift is wrapped underneath your Christmas tree today, waiting for you to receive it. See, a gift can be given, but it's not yours until you receive it. See, this gift can be for you today. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You don't have to face death. You can unwrap that gift this year. So let me introduce you to Jesus today. He is God. He is the fulfillment. He is the Messiah, and Jesus is Emmanuel. Listen, Emmanuel, it's simple. He is God with us. That word literally means with us is God. God is with us. Hundreds of years before Jesus was born, in Isaiah chapter 7, the prophet said this about the coming Messiah. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Jesus is God in the flesh, but he's not just God. See, lots of people think God is out there. God is detached from me. God doesn't care about my insignificant problems. There's bigger problems out there. If God's out there at all, then he doesn't care about me, or he's surely not concerned about the small details that I'm going through. It's maybe only when things get big or the world goes crazy that maybe God intervenes and gets involved. And maybe that's the view you have of Jesus today. Maybe that's the view you have of God today, is this misconception of who God truly is. He's out there. No, he's not. God's right here. See, God's desire all along, was always to be with us. In the Garden of Eden, he walked hand in hand with his creation, with Adam and Eve. He walked with them in the garden. He was with them. But because of sin, that separated them. But all throughout the course of human history, he's created ways to be with his people. The tabernacle in the Old Testament, in the wilderness, where God's presence dwelt. The temple that Solomon built, where God's presence dwelt. And then now Jesus coming in the New Testament, because all those other things were so insignificant and didn't work. Jesus comes in and says, I'm with you. I'm with you. See, Jesus wants to be with us. Emmanuel. In every day of our life, he wants to be with us. See, in the good times and the bad, he wants to be with you. In the highs and the lows, he wants to be with you. The pain and the struggle, he wants to be with you. The heartache and the brokenness, he wants to be with you. In the trials and trouble, he wants to be with you. Come on, say this with me. In the confusion, the chaos, he wants to be with you. He wants to be with you. Listen, not just us. He doesn't want to be with us, right? He wants to be with us, but he wants to be with you. You, today, personally, you. He wants to be with you. See, Bethlehem, the manger, that shows God with us. The cross shows God for us, and the Holy Spirit is God in us. God wants to be with you. Listen to this, Philippians chapter 2, speaking of this God, this star-breathing, galaxy-breathing, earth-shaping, human-forming, spirit-breathing God. This is what is said about him in Philippians 2. Though he was God, speaking of Jesus, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Jesus didn't say, I'm not gonna give up what I have. I have heaven. I'm with the Father. I have power. I have perfection. I have rights. I have privileges. Jesus didn't hang on to those. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. Helpless, dependent, humble. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. I want you to know the real Jesus today. He is God. He is the fulfillment. He is the Messiah, and he wants to be with you. Now, maybe you're asking, and I hope that you are, maybe you're asking why? Why? If he's God, if he's who you say he is, he knows what I've done. He knows what I'm gonna do. He knows what I'm thinking right now. He knows what happened earlier today before I even got to this stupid church service. Maybe you're thinking that. Why? Why would that God do that for me? You know the answer. You know it. You've heard it before. I want to give you a deeper understanding, maybe possibly today, of it. John 3:16, for God so loved you. For God so loved you. He gave his one and only son that whoever would believe in him, whoever would unwrap that present today that he's offering, would not perish but would have eternal life. I love how the Holy Spirit through John, he says, he doesn't just love you, he so loves you. Like, there's a difference, right? Like, you can love someone or you can so love someone. Like, there's some people in this church that I love and then I so love my wife, right? He so loves you. I don't think you understand. I don't think you get it. In fact, I don't think we possibly can. Ephesians chapter 3 tells us that the depth of his love for you is unimaginable. You can't understand it. Listen to what it says. May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should. It doesn't say all God's people do. All God's people should. How wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. May you experience it, even though it's too great to understand fully. You may never know the depths of God's love for you, but you need to walk away today believing, I hope, or at least hearing the words that I'm saying, that God so loves you, you don't even realize how much he loves you. I have a son, and I wouldn't send my son to die for any person in this room. Sorry. Jesus did. He sent his son to die for you because he so loves you. John summarizes this perfectly in his gospel. In John chapter 1, he talks about all these different points of God. He says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, Jesus is God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that's been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind, because Jesus is the Messiah. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, because Jesus is the fulfillment of that light in the Old Testament. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, listen, though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Today, maybe you don't recognize God. You don't recognize Jesus because you're looking for someone else other than who Jesus truly is. You've bought in the lie that he's distant. He's just a good moral teacher. He doesn't care about your life. He's just the face of a religion. I don't need him. He doesn't care about me. He's a myth, whatever that is. Would you put that down today and see Jesus for who he truly is? He's here with you. Will you recognize him? Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. To all who believed him and received the gift of eternal life, the gift that's given to you underneath your Christmas tree today, he says, if you believe me, if you receive me, you will have that eternal life. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, because Jesus is Emmanuel. Tonight, if you're here and you're for the first time being introduced to who Jesus truly is, I want to give you an opportunity not just to know about him, I want to give you an opportunity to receive him. He's the greatest gift that we could possibly receive.